Today, we're honored to have, we're going to have another all-star lineup of great African-American scholars in this subject. And this one right here we have on today starting off is the curator and author of the paper, well-known paper, The Cross Theory of Cross-Color Confrontation and Racism, White Supremacy, which was published in 1970. Of course, her most recent publication titled The ISIS Paper from Third World Press. She has also authored numerous articles on various aspects of racism and the mental health of black people. Dr. Welson is on this topic of racism and black mental health at many colleges and universities throughout the United States, London, England, and abroad. She has appeared as a guest on numerous radio and television programs throughout the United States. Most notable, she successfully debated Nobel Peace Prize lecturer William Shockley, Dr. William Shockley, countering his argument of the black genetic inferiority on national public television in 1974. She's the recipient of many awards for her contributions in the field of mental health and her service to black people. She was educated in the Chicago public school system, attending Antioch College on Yellow Springs, Ohio, where she received her BS degree, bachelor's degree in 1957. In 1958, she entered Howard University of Medicine in Washington, D.C., where she received her MD degree in 1962. From 1962 to 1963, she interned at the Cook County Hospital, which was followed by a residency of general psychology at St. Elizabeth Hospital in Washington, D.C. from 1963 to 1966. Dr. Welson is board eligible in both general psychology and child psychiatry. She is a giant among giants when speaking on racism in America. One that scholars call when they want to talk about racism in America. We want to welcome to the show Dr. Frances Kress Welson. How are you doing today, Dr. Frances Kress Welson?
I'm fine, thank you.
We are honored to have you on the show.
My pleasure to be with you.
We're taking up on this task, Dr. Frances Kress Welson, to talk about manhood. In the midst of this conversation about manhood, taken from the book written by Franklin Fidel, Taking Back Your Manhood, he talks about conquering the race problem.
Okay, now I want to talk about my work.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with his work.
Yes, and I understand that. And his work talked about the race problem, which we called you up because you are expert on the race problem, the ISIS paper.
Okay.
And the work that you had done dealing with white supremacists, dealing with racism. Can you tell us your opinion on how you think, and you wrote about this, we as black American, black man should deal with racism and white supremacy?
Well, first of all, the word racism is used over and over again, but rarely do you find people defining and being succinct about exactly what they mean when they use that term. And if you're not clear about, if a person is not clear about what the problem is, the problem can't be solved. So what I have done is following the work of Neely Fuller Jr., who was the first person to say that racism, white supremacy, because there's only one racism, there's no black racism, there's no yellow racism. In other words, people of color could have attitudes, but they don't have the power to control what happens in the lives of white people. Contrary, people who classify themselves as white are the dominant power force in the world today. So racism is white supremacy. And Mr. Fuller said it was a system, a global system that covered all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And so being a psychiatrist, I raised the question in my own mind, well, what would cause people to organize a system of domination, first of all, based upon skin color?
Right.
Do you see? So people who classify themselves as white classify the other people as non-white. And so the definition that I came up with is that racism has a very clear logic. And that logic is the genetic survival of the white minority on planet Earth. Many times people who classify themselves as white refer to the people of color as minorities. But in reality, the white population is a tiny minority population on the planet. 9/10 of the people on the planet are black, brown, red, and yellow. Right. Now, it was discovered, I say beginning in the 15th century, but also long ago, that when people who classify themselves as white have sexual relations with people of color, white is genetically annihilated because it is a genetic recessive trait. And the example that everybody can look at today is Barack Obama. His mother is white, his father is black.
Right.
And he is identified by people who classify themselves as white as black. And everybody, based on the parameters that are set under racism, white supremacy. So I maintain that once people who classify themselves as white came out of Europe, circumnavigated the planet, found out that everybody on the planet, other than the people in Europe, were brown, black, brown, red, and yellow, and that if the men had sexual relations with the non-white women, white would genetically disappear. And I say at that point, they didn't have to have a big conference in a UN-type building.
Right.
But it was clear, if we are going to survive genetically, we have to dominate the people of color in all of those areas of activity: economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. That's what racism, white supremacy is. And if we go back historically in terms of black people's experience, Dr. Du Bois in 1903 in his book Souls of Black Folks said the problem of the 20th century is the question of the color line between the lighter and darker races of mankind. Well, what he was talking about, the problem of the 20th century, is racism, white supremacy.
Right.
Now, if we understand this, it is possible to solve the problem. If we understand this, we will understand why there are problems. I think you're saying a topic that you discussed earlier were the relationships between black males and black females.
Yes.
Well, the target or the person who, the group that is feared as potentially having the potential to cause white genetic annihilation is the black male. And this is why black males were historically lynched and castrated. This is why there's driving while black. This is why there's mass level incarceration of black males, because the black male is perceived as the great threat. It's not because black males are raping white females. It's the projection. It is the projection mm-hmm. that black males could relate to white females in the same way that white males related to African women or black women during formal enslavery.
Right.
And that's including all of the so-called founding fathers that I say are the fondling fathers.
The fondling.
F-O-N-D-L-I-N-G.
Sex abuser's father. All right, I feel you. Doctor, you mentioned religion in this when you broke it down. Now, we have so many black churches that ran by African Americans. How does race fall into the religion? Can you break it down in your opinion how the race and racism is in religion?
Well, you know, in other words, these are the areas of activity, of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. So religion is one of the areas of people activity where control under the system of racism takes place. And so instead of, you know, if we take what is called Christianity.
Yes.
And the figure Jesus, who was supposed to be a Palestinian,
mm-hmm.
He was not a white person historically. If he was a historical figure,
right.
he was not white.
Right.
But
right.
he is presented in the system of white supremacy as a white male, and the brain will make the calculation. If the Son of God is white, then God must be white.
Okay. Okay.
You see, so that for as far as black people are concerned, from the time of formal enslavement, they have been taught to worship the image of the white male as God. You see, pray to God, Jesus help me, Jesus save me, Jesus love me, etc., etc. And so psychologically, if you are praying to a white figure to save you while simultaneously you are oppressed by people who classify themselves as white, psychologically it becomes impossible for you to free yourself.
Dr. Francis Kress Wilson's on the phone line, breaking down some of the areas that we need to dominate. Entertainment. You mentioned entertainment in this, too. Entertainment is dominated by African Americans on the entertainment side.
Well, I don't agree.
On the actor side, as a worker now. I mean, I understand it's ran by a small group of individuals who controls a mass majority of the entertainment field. But
you see, and within that frame, black artists, you know, musicians, artists, poets, or whatever, rappers, hip-hoppers,
right,
are caused to, you know, I will pay you if you will demean and degrade yourself and demean and degrade your people, your women. So I will pay you if you refer to yourself as a gangster and a thug. I will pay you if you will refer to your women as bitches and hoes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Right.
So I don't pay you to glorify and respect yourself. For example, under Motown, do you see where the black artists were within the framework of a black company, and the artists called themselves the Supremes and the Marvellas, or, you know, gave positive, beautiful names to themselves.
Right, right.
But under white supremacy, no, you're going to be ludicrous, or you're going to, you know, you're going to have other ridiculous names, and you are going to be portrayed in the role that I want you to be, because as I, you know, to ensure white genetic survival, I have to remove black males from the black family, from the black community, from the black people. I have to have large numbers of males incarcerated. I have to program them to distort their sexuality.
Right.
And not be interested in being husbands, fathers, functional males in the community who can guide and protect their families, their children, guide their sons into appropriate, mature activity.
Right.
The system of racism, white supremacy cannot survive if that takes place.
Wow. Wow. Dr. Francis Kress Wilson's on the phone line. Also, you mentioned sex in this category. Right.
Right. Well, what's your question in that area?
Well, how you said we need to dominate this area. We need to conquer this area. How does sex and racism? How do that play the role? Tell me.
Well, again, sex is one of the areas of people activity, but I can cause people, my system of white supremacy domination, by distorting family life. I can cause people by first producing what I refer to as dependency deprivation, where children do not get sufficient emotional nurturance. In other words, if fathers are not in the family and mothers are caused to be breadwinners and simultaneously attempt to meet the emotional needs of children. Right. Or if I set up a welfare system because there's no father who is employed, and so a woman is on welfare and she's forced to have a number of children trying to get enough money to pay the rent, etc., then children are not getting their emotional needs met.
Right.
And if children do not get their emotional needs met, they can become sex obsessed, or they can become vulnerable to drug addiction, or they can become vulnerable to alcoholism. You see, so we're dealing with, have been dealing with epidemics of teenage pregnancy.
Right.
And there's no possible way for a teenager to take care of a child for 25 years and guide that child into a level of maturity that the teen parent has not, him or herself, arrived at.
Right, right.
on you the see, but all of this is a part of the dynamic of the system itself. And this is what I maintain, that black people are to have mental health. They have to understand the power dynamic that encompasses their lives. I mean, sometimes you might hear a black person say, well, racism is not affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an area of a black person's life that is not dominated by racism, white supremacy. All these black male young people who are dying on the streets from guns and dealing in drugs is a product of racism, white supremacy. All the mothers who are panicked about, if my teenage son goes out, will he come back home alive?
Right, right, right. Breaking it down on the phone line. Wow. But Dr. Francis Cress Welsman, you know, you mentioned the mental health, and I know you're an expert in mental health for black people. Can you give a general synopsis? What is the general mental health of African Americans in America?
Well, what would be mental health is that a person is to be able to function in such a way to maximize the function of their genetic and constitutional potential.
Okay.
You see, to not have barriers to development.
Okay.
To be able to achieve in any area that one seeks to achieve in, whether it's economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war, or all of those areas, and to lead a productive, self-respecting, group-respecting pattern of life, and to protect one's children, guide one's children, so they too can function in a productive way and mature, have families, take care of children through multiple generations.
Right.
But this is not what the system of racism, white supremacy supports.
Right. In your book, do it lays out how do we attack these issues with economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war?
I didn't understand what you said.
Do it lay out how we should deal with those entities?
Well, their ideas, you mean within the ISIS papers?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Their suggestions within some of the essays in the ISIS papers, and I'm working on ISIS papers volume 2.
Okay. Okay.
You see, to help go into that. But I encourage people to get the work of Neely Fuller Jr. He was the first person to say racism is white supremacy is racism. And if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is, how it works, everything else that you think you understand will only confuse you.
Hmm.
You see, so black people are always asking, what's happening? All kind of confusions. People don't understand why there are health disparities and health care disparities. All of this is related.
Wow. Wow.
To the dynamic of oppression that is racism, white supremacy. You see, and it's like if a black person brings up racism, then you might have some person who classifies him or herself in the media shouting, oh, they're playing the race card.
Right,
no,
right.
The whole deck is racism.
Right.
See, not just the card, the whole deck, the whole game. And this is not about, you know, this articulation is not about hating white people. That's a waste of energy, and it's a waste of time. The reason to talk about racism so that the problem of racism, white supremacy, can be solved, and that we can replace racism with a system of justice on this planet so there can be peace.
Do you think that would ever happen, Dr.?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You see, but it won't happen as long as people go around saying, oh, the race problem cannot be solved. Imagine if people went around and, you know, as years ago, there were epidemics of tuberculosis. Imagine if people walked around and said, oh, you can never solve the problem of tuberculosis.
Right.
Or you can never solve the problem of malaria.
Right.
Or you can never solve the problem of HIV/AIDS. You can solve the problem of HIV/AIDS by understanding that it's biological warfare.
Right, right.
Until proven otherwise. Do you see?
Right.
In that it is a product of the mindset of racism, white supremacy, just like the Tuskegee syphilis experiment.
Right, Right. Well, when you mentioned religion, I thought about Dr. Jeremiah Wright and all the things he had to go through. Do you believe?
Right, exactly. And Jeremiah Wright was articulating like any other progressive black minister would articulate and talk about in his own prophetic voice the problem that black people are suffering under, which is racism, white supremacy.
Right. Do you believe that we should not be ashamed and scared of speaking out then on racism, no matter where we're at?
That we should say that again.
We should not be ashamed to speak out on racism.
Well, I encourage that. Do you see? But I do understand that there are consequences to speaking out against racism. From my point of view, you know, like all of the professors that we have in universities and colleges, they are allowed to mention the word racism, but they are not permitted to analyze and discuss in depth what racism, white supremacy is.
Hmm. Okay.
Do you see? Because then the people who are in charge of the universities and colleges will no longer have a use for them. So you're stepping into dangerous territory when you, you know, not just complain about racism, but you say, no, we have to start with an analysis. It's just like a doctor trying to treat a person who is ill. You have to first make a diagnosis, and you have to understand in depth
right
what it is that you are attempting to treat. You see, but again, if one looks back historically and looks at Sigmund Freud, who was a Semite of the Jewish religion in Austria, in Germany.
Right.
And under the white supremacy reign of Adolf Hitler, he wasn't able to talk about the problems that Semites of the Jewish religion were suffering under the white supremacy that was then called Nazism.
Right.
Do you see? So Freud started talking about sex repression and talking about everything under the sun other than the dynamic of white supremacy in the form of anti-Semitism, because the word Semite means mulatto. It's the group of people in North Africa and in the Mediterranean region who were a combination of white people and African people, producing a mulatto class, just like you had a huge mulatto class doing formal enslavement of African people, whether in the Caribbean, South America, Central America, or here in this area of the world.
Right, right. Do racism, do it affect only African Americans?
No, racism, white supremacy is, is in a sense a warfare against people who are classified as non-white. But the most intense form is against black people, because black people have the greatest genetic potential. All people of color, anybody who has coloration in their skin, it is a result of the pigment, the black pigment melanin, that is genetically controlled. The quantity is genetically controlled. So if you have a large capacity, genetic capacity, to produce melanin skin pigment, then your skin is crystal black. A little bit less, it looks brown, a little bit less so-called red, a little bit less yellow.
Right.
But all of it is related to the very same pigment.
Right.
And so black people have the greatest genetic potential to cause white genetic annihilation, and so they are, our group is the number one target of attack and the number one group that is feared. And so it's like when black people learn, I maintain, before they learn how to read, if you are black, get back. If you're brown, stick around. If you're yellow, you're mellow. If you're white, you're right. All people of color all over the world who have interfaced with people who classify themselves as white and white power domination have learned that the less color you have, the less of a threat you are perceived as.
Wow.
You see, and so the greater the opportunity that you may be allowed to have.
Right, right.
Under white supremacy, but all people. It's like even a black person who can pass for white.
Okay.
If they tell a white person, you know, let's say they're hired on a job.
Okay.
And so the whites think they're white.
Right.
And if the person speaks up and says, no, I'm black, then there's a completely different attitude. Because the person is carrying in their genetic makeup, even though it is a small amount, the capacity to cause white genetic annihilation.
Right.
And so it's like I've asked, you know, large audiences of white people, do you want your children to be colored? Do you want your grandchildren to be colored? Do you want your great-grandchildren to be colored? Do you want your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be colored? I'm polite, they're polite, but what do they say?
No.
No, exactly.
Right.
And I say, well, if you mean no, then that means that you have to do certain specific things in all of the areas of people activity. Economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war, to maintain power over the people of color so they don't get out of control.
Wow. I got to ask you a couple more things, and I know your time is busy, and I appreciate you having me on radio. Afrocentricity versus homosexuality. Can you comment on that? And is that something that's talked about in the ISIS paper?
Right. I have a theory of homosexuality. Well, do you see, this is a very interesting question, and it's not about talking negatively about a person who may say I'm gay or I'm lesbian.
Right.
But I started observing that it seemed to be that we were having an epidemic.
That's right.
Of male homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking last year at a medical convention to some of my black colleagues and some of the pediatricians, and they were also saying it seems as though we have an epidemic of black male homosexuality. Well, I think that one route to produce this is if you don't have fathers in the home.
Okay. Right.
I have a taste for some greens because
right.
that's where the vitamin A is.
Right, right.
Do you see? So, you know, now we are being informed that there are various chemicals that are in plastics that have been leached into the water supply that can cause the effeminization of amphibians and fish.
Okay.
You see, so the question becomes, if there is a conscious and subconscious fear of white genetic annihilation, would there be the deliberate putting such chemicals in the water supply or in the food supply among certain people? See, I maintain
right.
that these questions
right.
have to be raised. Now, somebody will say, well, this is paranoia.
No.
But anybody who refers to a black person who is talking about the fallout or the possible fallout from racism, white supremacy, if they call a black person paranoid without being able to define and analyze or talk about racism, white supremacy themselves, do you see, then they're
right.
just talking nonsense.
Right. And we got to remember the Tuskegee experiment. So this is not beyond our imagination, not beyond happening.
You see, in self-respect, you were talking about mental health and, you know, definition of mental health, that people have to have respect for themselves. They have to love themselves. They have to respect themselves. They're not, you know, not I want to look like somebody else or bleach my skin or give me white features because I hate who I am. This is tragically what has happened in all too many instances to black people under racism, white supremacy. I mean, if a child just turns on the television and watches the television every day, they're not going to see images, you know, constructive images of black people. They're just going to see white, blonde white women, white. Do you see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Or if a child goes to school, and other than Black History Month, they're just learning, well, you know, this white person did this, and this white person accomplished this, and this white person did this, and this white person did this.
Right.
are not learning 365 days of the year the accomplishments and the achievement of black people or other people of color who make up the vast majority of people on this planet.
Right.
You see, so if you just are unconsciously looking at the television, you are being brainwashed into black self-hatred.
Wow. Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, before we go, could you tell us about the ISIS paper and about the Cress theory of color confrontation and racism that was published in 1970 and in your 1990 publication, ISIS paper, and the new one that's coming out, ISIS Papers 2. Can you tell us about that and how people can get them?
Well, you can get the ISIS papers at any bookstore, and the ISIS papers is no longer being published by Third World Press. It is being published by CW Publishing.
Okay, all right.
And so it's available. You can always order it at any bookstore, order it at Amazon.com, Borders, or, you know, if they don't have it available, you can always ask that it be ordered for you, and it is available.
Okay.
And it is in print.
All right.
And the Cress theory, I initially was looking at to see why did people who classify themselves as white, why were they constantly talking about black people are genetically inferior in terms of intelligence, or black people were minorities, or black people were ugly, looking at that dimension of racism, white supremacy. I mean, you know, you still hear it in a more subtle form when people are saying Barack Obama isn't ready.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, here's a black man, highly intelligent, lawyer, graduate of Harvard University, president of the Law Review, and how dare somebody say he's not ready?
Right. Right.
Do you see, John McCain, I understand, was number 6 from the bottom in a class of 900.
Right.
Do you see, but you will say, well, Barack Obama is not ready, but here's another person.
Right.
Who is. Do you see, so it's over and over and over and over again, or black children underachieving, and or black people have more hypertension, black people have more stroke, black people have more kidney disease. As long as those statements are made without saying because of the stress of the system of racism, or because of the impoverishment of black families under the system of racism, white supremacy, so black children do not have the same opportunities in their home for education, etc.
Right, right.
And so therefore they are performing less well. As long as that's not said, then the conclusion must be, well, if black people are not doing well, then it must be because they are genetically impaired, you see, in terms of their intelligence.
Right.
And, or if black people have more hypertension, and if we don't talk about the 24/7 stress from the system of racism, white supremacy, and so therefore black people suffer from hypertension and stroke.
Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, when I talk to Dr. Karingo later on the day, I'll let him know you left my phone line hot here, the mics and the earphones. You are spreading some knowledge, and we are honored to have this dialogue with you. In any last comments before we go? Anything else you want to say to our audience?
Well, no, I just encourage everyone to have the courage to talk about reality. The Creator made black people the mothers and fathers of everybody on this planet, including people whose skins are white. because they're a mutation to albinism. And so we are the parent people on the planet. And so we owe it. If we say that we are religious or spiritual, then that means that you have to respect what the Creator made, you see, and optimize how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to one another, and in order to bring justice and peace to the planet. And let me just give you some exercises in black mental health and black self-respect if we have time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we do. Yeah.
Okay. And some of these are from the work of Neely Fuller Jr., and people can get his work by calling 202-484-5461.
Right. 202-484-5461.
And just, you know, arrange to get a copy of his book, Textbook for Victims of Racism, White Supremacy.
Okay.
And, okay, these are the exercises, and everybody can practice or select what they're going to practice. But it will make a difference in terms of black mental health, black self-respect, okay, and helping to... this is sort of the nursery school work of helping to bring racism, white supremacy to an end.
Okay.
Okay, stop name-calling one another.
All right. Stop name.
Stop cursing one another. Stop squabbling with one another. Stop being discourteous and disrespectful to one another. Stop fighting one another. Stop killing one another. Stop robbing one another. And stop stealing from one another. Mm. And I say stop pretending. Stop telling black children that as children, they can be adequate mothers and fathers.
Okay.
Stop pretending that racism, white supremacy does not exist. Stop throwing down trash where black people live, work, and play. Stop using and selling drugs to one another. Now, even though these behavior patterns are brought on by the stress and the dynamic of a system of racism, white supremacy, it's like you can counter by becoming conscious that there is such a system, and if I transform my behavior, because a system, a minority maintains control over majority by dividing and conquering and having the majority fight and kill each other. Well, if the majority ceases to do that, then that begins to break the back of this particular system of injustice.
I feel like I owe you a tuition fee, Dr. Francis Cress
Wilson. Well, I'm very happy, too. I hope that some of the things that I've said have been helpful.
I wrote everything you just said right here. Stop name calling, stop cursing, stop swabbing, stop being discourteous, stop fighting, stop killing, stop robbing, stop start pretending that racism don't exist, stop throwing trash in a place where black people live, stop selling drugs, and I can't understand my handwriting, stop... one last one I had here.
And stop allowing racism, white supremacy to divide and conquer black, brown, red, and yellow people.
You
see, stop falling for the hype black people and Hispanic people or Asian people should be fighting and squabbling with one another.
Right, right.
Keep doing that. And bottom line, this is not about hating white people. This is about bringing justice and peace to planet Earth.
All right. Thanks for your time. Laura knows, but I'll be happy to have you back when next time
well,
we have.
I'll be glad to be on your show again. Just call me.
All right. Take care of Dr. Francis Cress Wilson. Have a great weekend, okay?
Same to you.
God bless. All right. Wow. All right, Muskegon. Y'all need to send her a donation for that knowledge she kicked off. Ease in the studio. I know you came in and love it, man. What do
yeah.
you think?
I was just soaking in what she was saying. You know, it was kind of deep. Well, it was real deep. Not
real
kinda,
deep.
Yeah.
She's the real deal. One of the top African-American female scholars in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're just on radio here, 103.7 The Beat. Dr. Frances Cress Wilson. Go Google her name online. You'll see what she done. And she just dropped knowledge, man. And we're going to come back. We're going to get into conquering the race problem. We got a loaded show today. And I don't know if we can beat what we just kicked off, man. That's hot. We might go to the phone line. Let me take some phone line. Call it. You live on The Beat.
Hi, I just called to say that the doctor was great. I listened to almost all of it, and You know, what line really got me was when she came in with the fondling father's line.
Yes.
That line, I mean, it just, I'm always looking for a new expression, and that was one of them. You know, if we start there and just go forward and look at our problems systematically,